Welcome to the Capital News. I am your host, Alex Caritas. Today is Tuesday, May 19th, 2020. Thank you so much for joining me. The title of today's podcast is The Nobody Cares Act. And of course, we are talking about the CARES Act, which was passed in the midst as an emergency measure in response to COVID-19. This is the multi-trillion dollar monstrosity that we are paying for and we're going to be paying for years down the road. We discussed this at length in one of our previous podcasts. Free was never so expensive, and it's just adding up by the day. Well, today we have Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin and Jerome Powell, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, through a virtual meeting, testified today before a Senate committee that is responsible for at least providing some oversight when it comes to the CARES Act. And of course, I am calling this the Nobody Cares Act because that's basically a law when it comes to government bills and what they are named, right? We discussed this previously as well. The Patriot Act, front and center, very unpatriotic, perhaps the most unpatriotic bill that has ever been passed, not just in this country, but anywhere. Completely unpatriotic. No child left behind. We can't read. We can't write. Kids can't do arithmetic. Race to the top, not even close. Okay? Whatever they say, it is the opposite. The Affordable Care Act, not even close. All right? So when you hear it's the CARES Act, what it really means is it's the Nobody Cares Act. Because when you think about it, you think, oh, well, they care about me. I'm the constituent. It's us. It's we the people. Maybe they're finally going to do something for us. And all it took was a global pandemic. No, no, no. We know where the money's going to invest, the vast majority of it. We know about the hiccups that are taking place, especially when it comes to state unemployment. We still have some 40% of people who are still waiting, to receive some type of unemployment insurance. 40%. And we know the statistics. We know people are living paycheck to paycheck. Well, now they're not working, so now they're really screwed. They're using credit cards to make ends meet. Now they're really screwed. And the government can't get their act together at the federal level and at the state level. Weren't prepared for this. This is supposed to be the greatest country ever. We're supposed to be a behemoth on so many fronts. Technology, everybody, you know, it doesn't matter who you are, right? Republican, Democrats, it's all hype, it's all talk. We're the best this, we're the best that, we got to make investments here, we got to spend money there. You're Republican, well, we got to use the creative minds of those entrepreneurs, we got to allow a government to run like a business. So wouldn't that mean that they should be incorporating some of the best technologies to allow a streamlined process when it comes to unemployment claims, even in such a situation? Not happening. And all those Democrats that give lip service to technology, technology, technology. Well, where is it? Where is it? Because you have 40% of people, and that's a huge number, when you're talking about 36 million Americans who have filed for unemployment insurance over the past 2 months. They have nothing. They have nothing. They have to fight it. They got to get an appeal. They got to wait for that decision. Over and over and over again, this is chaos. This is how government operates. And this is why we are against all of these programs. This is why we are against these bailouts. And when we dive into the conversation we have today that focuses on the Powell-Mnuchin testimony, you're going to understand why. Okay? Market performance today, down. But right now we have the Dow Jones Industrial Average and Futures trading up about 0.9%. The S&P 500 is trading up 0.8%. Same with the NASDAQ 100. Again, this is the futures. In the cash trade over in Japan, they are up 1.2%. Across the pond, a mixed bag depending on the index, but most of them were in the red. Right now, during the cash trade in Australia, they are up about 0.5%. WTI is trading at $32.15 a barrel. Brent at $34.93. Natural gas, $1.82 per million British thermal units. Another good day for gold and silver. Gold trading at $1,748 an ounce. Silver, $17.49 an ounce. On the bond front, Uncle Sam's 10-year treasury is now yielding spot 0.69%. Again, is this a flight to safety, that inverse relationship with bonds price and its yield? Higher price, lower yield. We are below a 7 handle. Again, yielding 0.69%. Well, why the sell-off today in the markets? Could it be because that news that came out yesterday in regards to the Moderna biotech vaccine? It was just hype, folks. Well, who could have seen this coming? Unbelievable. And, you know, I got to do a little bit more research on this, but I've been coming across some interesting things that's going to make me do some research on this. But when we come to this Operation Warp Speed, which was announced by the president on last Friday, and we discussed that briefly. Well, this new vaccine czar, a former executive at GlaxoSmithKline, GSK, he was in charge of their vaccine department. Well, he is now the vaccine czar. Okay, he is supposed to be point man in conjunction with somebody in the military as well to run Operation Warp Speed. Well, I'm coming across a handful of sources, and again, I got to do some more digging in this, that he is somehow involved with Moderna. So understand the timeline. This is announced, Operation Warp Speed, a vaccine czar, last Friday. Come the following Monday, as in yesterday, we get this massive headline that Moderna, their vaccine, is fantastic. It's going to work. Markets rally. Dow is up over 1,000 points. I know it closed, I think, at 9-11. 9-1-1, I think, was the close on the Dow yesterday. Ominous, maybe. And now today, the news. Some experts have reviewed the data. It's really not that optimistic. It's much, much too early in the process to get your hopes up. You know, common sense stuff, even if you're not anybody in the science community. Just having a basic understanding of the process. A little bit of common sense. But these markets don't give a damn. So the question becomes, for this vaccine czar, how much money did he make if he is truly involved with Moderna in some form or another? Did he have stock options? Was he compensated for this? This is the type of market, and this is the type of system that we have. We shouldn't even be having to ask these types of questions. But this is what we have to do. So for anybody who thinks that this guy, Donald Trump Thunder Thumbs, is draining the swamp, I don't know what you're looking at. You're simply in your silo, sucking your thumb, listening and only looking at what you want to look at and only listening to what you want to hear. There is an economic and financial coup d'etat taking place right in front of your face. You're lucky if you got $1,200. You filed for unemployment insurance. You're lucky if you're one of the 60% who's gotten it. What happens if you're part of the 40%, which is no number to sneeze at, by the way? But if you're an airline, if you're an energy company, if you're close to this president or the administration or somebody within the administration, if you're close to somebody in Congress, well, by all means, you're going to get billions of dollars, millions of dollars, very few strings, if any, attached, right out the door. No questions asked. Don't worry about it. This is right in your face. Right in your face. This is approved by the president. This is approved by the Treasury Secretary, Larry Kudlow, Peter Navarro. Republicans and Democrats. They're all taking all the money. And we are broke. We are broke. And they are distributing it to those who they are close to. And the $1,200 that you received, if you've been lucky enough to receive it thus far, is sit down and shut up money. That's all it is. And all you have become is a pass-through. Because the government knows what's going to happen. Because they're not blind. They understand the global protests that are taking place around the world. They understand that is quite the possibility and probability of occurring here in the United States. But maybe, just maybe, we have the upper hand to at least delay some of those protests and perhaps even outright riots in this country by giving people $1,200. Because if what happened last time during the great financial crisis was just everything to Wall Street, well, there would be torches and pitchforks in the street already. But now, it's a psychological operation, basically. Let's give the people something. That way they think they're getting something, even though when they get that money, most of it's going to go to pay off the credit cards, pay a mortgage, pay rent. And that money will then get siphoned through to somebody else who is a bank. Somewhere down the line, it's going back to the financial sector. Couldn't be clearer. Couldn't be easier to follow. But people can't connect the dots. That's the market performance. That was the hype. That was the BS that we were dealt yesterday. And then, of course, more of the truth comes out today, and it sold off. No surprise. You have some interesting data out of Bloomberg. This is in regards to corporate debt and corporate debt issuance. I mean, why not, right? The Federal Reserve is going to backstop everything, so isn't this the best time to issue as much debt as possible? And wouldn't you know it, that over the past couple of months, they've already issued more debt? Almost than the entirety of last year. Almost. Now, this is both for investment grade and high yield, most of it from the investment grade sector. But you're looking January, less than $100 billion. You got February, a couple hundred billion. March, a couple hundred billion. Few hundred billion last month. I mean, it just keeps going. I mean, why not? This is well and above where it was last year, 2019. They don't care. And again, why should they? They're going to be backstopped. The Federal Reserve will buy it. If the Federal Reserve loses, Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary, already said, you know, they'll backstop them. We'll recapitalize the Federal Reserve if we have to. They already did. Now they're going to have to again. And that was another thing that was mentioned today. So let's get to that. Let's get to some of that testimony today from Chairman Jerome Powell and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin. A couple bullet points that I thought was worth mentioning here for our discussion today. And we'll get back to them, but I just want to run through them real quickly here. Not all of the money that has been appropriated has been spent. The Federal Reserve will use leverage, which we understand this because we understand fractional reserve banking. If you don't understand that, you can find previous podcasts where we discuss that at length, or you can buy our book, The Cynic's Guide to Investing, where we discuss fractional reserve banking at length. The base case from the Treasury Department is that they are expecting losses. They are expecting losses. We'll get back to that. There was a good exchange, I thought, between Senator Elizabeth Warren with Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin about some of the terms of the deals, the conditions of the deals, and will some of these conditions require that if the government is going to give any type of assistance or bailout, grant, loan, whatever the case may be, will it make it a condition of the deal that corporation has to retain employees, and if they've laid them off, that they have to bring them back. That was an interesting exchange. You have the Federal Reserve's balance sheet, which we've been discussing here at length, but the Federal Reserve balance sheet came up. Are there limitations? What's going on with the money supply? And we talked about this a little bit yesterday with M1 and M2. And again, you can find this on the Federal Reserve's economic data website. Type in M1, type in M2, graph it, take a look at it. We'll discuss that at length a little bit here as well. And then an interesting question from another senator was, how does buying junk bonds, how does that help the people? Which I thought was a great question because we ask that question here all the time. How does it make sense, right? So, to the first point, not all of the money that has been appropriated has been spent. Now, some of the reasoning behind this, according to the Treasury Secretary, was because, well, we want to make sure this money is going to where it's supposed to go. If there's any hiccups, we want to make sure that we can correct them. So before we send out all of the other money that has been appropriated, we want to take the time to see how everything works out. Okay, maybe that's doable. But with all of the hiccups that have been taking place, with all of the businesses that say that they are not going to be able to survive, with all of the one survey after the next, that says a significant portion of businesses, especially small and mid-sized businesses, do not have enough cash to last another month. You add all this up, you say, well, what the hell is going on then? Why are you sitting on half of all of this money? And this is not a small amount that you're sitting on. Like, what are you waiting for? The states are broke. People aren't getting their unemployment insurance. What's going on here? Why are you sitting and waiting? But that's their answer. We're waiting to see how everything transpires, how everything unfolds. Or maybe they're just waiting for these smaller and mid-sized businesses to go out. Maybe it is the Nobody Cares Act. And this is all by design. This is all about consolidation. You know, a couple rules of the cynic that we outline in our book. Qui bono, who benefits, and follow the money. Well, who's getting the money? And who benefits? These are simple questions to ask. The data is there for you to see. The commentary is there for you to see. Who is getting the money and who isn't? So maybe this is by design. Because it's not the CARES Act, it's the Nobody Cares Act. The Fed will use leverage. Of course they will. That's how fractional reserve banking works. You go into the bank, you put $1,000 in, fractional reserve banking. If you have deposit requirement at the bank at 10%, that bank can go out and lend money 10 times that initial $1,000 deposit. That's how it works. It's basically a pyramid scheme inversed. Instead of having a broad base, it's the pyramid on the tip. It's a balancing act. That's why this entire system is extremely fragile. That's why it's all predicated on trust and confidence. Because we are living on a razor's edge. Okay? And if you don't understand fractional reserve banking, I highly suggest you look into it. Because it is theft. It is one of the biggest cons and schemes that has ever been perpetrated on mankind. That is not an exaggeration. The base case from the Treasury Secretary is that the Treasury Department is expecting that with all of these loans and grants being out there, the U.S. government is going to incur a loss. Now, I really don't necessarily have a problem with that being their base case because I actually think that that is realistic. I think despite how much money we throw out there, a lot of companies are going to continue to go bankrupt. They will liquidate. They will completely go out of business. And a quick side note, we have Pier 1 Imports. They're closing down. They're done. They're closing up shop. They've been in trouble for a while. We've mentioned that here before. But now Pier 1, they are closing all of their stores. So that's another hit to commercial real estate and a whole bunch of people who have those jobs, the complete supply chain. Okay? Just so you understand that. So expecting losses, being the base case, that's realistic. That's common sense. That's in agreement with our analysis here at the Capital News. Makes sense. You prepare for the worst, hope for the best. All right, so that's understandable. What I don't like, obviously, above and beyond with the bailouts, is the fact that the way in which the Treasury Secretary said this, yeah, we're fine with it too. Not only are we expecting it, we're fine with that being the case too. We expect losses. Who's paying for that? Is it going to come out of the Treasury Secretary's personal account? That's the incentive? Make sure you do everything right, otherwise we're going to penalize you personally? No, that's not how it works. You, us, we the people, the taxpayer. Those losses go on us. We are going to have to backstop the Treasury because we are the Treasury. And the Treasury is going to backstop the Federal Reserve and or recapitalize the Federal Reserve if it needs it, and it will. And it will. Are you fine with that? This is what's going on. It is right in front of your face. Oh, yeah. We're going to bail them out. And even though we bailed them out, a lot of them are still going to fail. But we don't care. We expect losses because we have tax provisions put into this Nobody's Cares Act. And you know what? Like we stated last week, got companies who are using these tax hole provisions and saying, you know what? Hold on, Your Honor. We're not ready to quite file bankruptcy yet. But let us take care of, let us utilize these tax provisions that allows us to keep cash on hand and allows us to use this cash for whatever reason we want. And of course, the executives are going to pay themselves enormous bonuses before they waltz down to the courthouse and file for bankruptcy. This is in your face. This is in the news. This is what is taking place. Do you care? I don't know. Senator Warren, that interesting exchange. Again, a simple question. A simple question. And, you know, you got to give credit where credit is due. She is on top of this stuff. And she grilled Steven Mnuchin. And I think rightly so. If we are going to appropriate millions and billions of dollars, and basically putting all of this control in the hands of the Treasury Secretary, because that's what Congress does anymore. It completely gives up all of its power and has done so for quite a while. It just gives it all to the executive branch, which is ridiculous. And they've been doing this for years. Isn't it incumbent on the Treasury Secretary and the Trump administration to put some contingencies in there to say, hey, if you're going to get taxpayer money to bail you out because you squandered your resources, you mismanaged your company, you have to keep people employed? Because Senator Warren made the good point, using the Treasury Secretary's words against him, which of course is always effective, or usually. But in this case, it was. She said, Mr. Secretary, if you're going to go out there day after day on the news media and say that you're anticipating in time a strong recovery in the economy, well then, wouldn't that be predicated on people having jobs? And of course the response was yes, but of course I think the Treasury Secretary was smart enough to know where the senator was going, and he said, well, wait a minute, Senator. I was always clear that the jobs numbers will get worse before they get better. So sort of covering himself before the onslaught comes, because he never answered the question directly. He always went back to the case, well, you know, Senator, this bill was passed in a bipartisan manner. These things were discussed at length, and yada, 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 never giving a yes or no answer. But of course, the answer is no. He is not going to put any strict condition in, especially when it comes to the larger corporations that he's buddies with. No, no, if you got to lay people off, go ahead and do it. If you got to cut their salaries, go ahead and do it. You got to cut benefits, go ahead and do it. Don't worry about a thing. Here's millions, billions of dollars to bail out you and your industry. Don't worry about a thing. But if it's a small company with the PPP loans, no, no, you have to bring your people back. You have to pay them. That's contingency if you want the loan to be forgiven. But if you're in the know, if it's your buddy, if you're in the good old boys club, by all means, do what you got to do. And ironically, that is what's supposed to happen. That is what's supposed to happen. That's part of the deleveraging process. There's no demand, then why do you have to keep people employed? They're not working. They're not doing anything. They're an additional cost. That's why you do not do these bailouts. Because the government, the Federal Reserve, politicians get to come in and pick winners and losers. And we already know who the winners are. And we know who the losers are. And unfortunately, there's going to be a lot more losers than there are winners. And that's by design, because this is the Nobody Cares Act. In your face. But you got your $1,200, you got your sit down and shut up money, and that's exactly what is taking place. It's unbelievable. But it's in your face. Every single day, it's something else. Then you have the Federal Reserve's balance sheet, up to $7 trillion. What are the limitations? It's unbelievable how respectful all of these senators are. It's above and beyond. It's pathetic, basically. It's basically kissing their ass, saying, oh, you've done such a wonderful job. And of course, because we've talked about this all the time, it's politically profitable for these politicians to have a Treasury Secretary who is happy to do all of this stuff, and a Federal Reserve and a Federal Reserve chairman who is happy to expand the balance sheet basically without any limitations or any questions asked. Because the counter would be, well, hey, if we got to pay for all this stuff, we're going to have to raise your taxes. And that's not politically convenient. That's not politically profitable. So these politicians, they just cow to these guys. Oh, yes, spend it, lever up, do what you got to do. Don't make me go home to my constituents and say, we got to pay for this, and we're going to have to raise your taxes. But guess what, folks? On the other side of it, your taxes are going up, and they're going to go up big. Because we already know that the states are broke. We already know that the Republicans are finally starting to put their foot down and say, well, that's enough. That's enough. Corporations, you give us a whole bunch of money so we can run our campaigns. You're going to get bailed out, no strings attached. Don't worry about a thing. Even if you have losses, that's fine. Don't worry about it. But when the states come and say, we're broke, oh no, we're not going to bail you out. And again, I'm against all of these bailouts for the corporations, for the states, even for individuals. Because this is what happens. This is what happens. Trillions of dollars we don't have. You're going to pay for it in inflation. You're going to pay for it in a lower level of living. And you're going to pay for it in higher taxes. Fewer job opportunities, you name it. And this is going to be generational. We already have a lost decade, a lost generation over the past decade as a result of the great financial crisis and this monstrosity of quantitative easing, negative interest rates, zero bound interest rates, all that crap. They are putting the pedal to the metal. It's only going to be worse. This is reminiscent 1920s, 1930s, where the government basically all but guaranteed and created the Great Depression. Now it's going to be the greatest depression. Just watch. Money supply through the roof. When you look at M1 and M2, of course, M2 incorporates M1. You're talking about checking accounts, saving accounts, cash, okay, money market accounts, CDs up to a certain deposit amount, okay? I mean, again, if you look at this graph, it's just straight vertical. At the end, over the past couple of months, an additional $2 trillion has been added from $15.5 trillion at the beginning of March, now sitting at over $17.5 trillion as of May 4th, and I'm sure it's gone up over the past couple of weeks as well. And we're up, again, $17.7 trillion. That's M2. And again, M2 also includes M1, but M2 is a broader measure. M3 used to be calculated as well. They've given that up, I think, during the great financial crisis because it was just a crime. And if anybody looked at that graph back then, he said, well, this is unsustainable. Can't do it. So they just got rid of it. That's what they've done. That's what they do. We talked yesterday. If you look at this same data on a year-over-year basis, you see the percentage change. Nothing in history comes close. Nothing in history comes close to the amount of money printing that comes. Jay Powell was like, well, you know, it's not to say that there aren't limitations, but of course he wasn't pressed, and he didn't elaborate further on his own. I mean, why the hell would he? As to any type of limitation, what's the cost of this? What's the free lunch? Again, those questions we asked yesterday, and of course we could have asked 20 more. What Americans you helping? Is there anything known as a free lunch? Does one exist? What about wealth inequality? What do you mean Congress has to do more? And of course, he was asked that question today, but he always sidesteps. That's not my lane, so I'm not going to talk about it. I just talk about it at a high level. Just that you got to do more, but I'm not going to tell you what more is. What about corporate debt? What about leveraged loans? What about commercial real estate? What about homeowners? Are you going to bail them out again? What are you going to do? Well, we continue to buy everything, and they are. And they're just getting started because not all of the money has been spent. But they are standing at the ready to go in and do it. Treasuries, mortgage-backed securities on the residential side and the commercial side, buying investment-grade bonds, buying junk bonds, which of course was another bullet point. How does buying junk bonds help the people? It doesn't. It just helps those who invested in them, backstops them. Because, you know, this is free market capitalism in the United States of America. Then I thought it was something else was interesting and quite laughable, maybe something tragic. You can do what you want, laugh, cry, do both. Treasury Secretary Mnuchin was asked a question about, you know, these lower interest rates. What was the idea of throwing out, you know, the long bond? He said, well, you know, we thought about doing the long bond, and I mean real long, 50 to 100 years. A 50-year bond and a 100-year bond, okay? He said, well, what we did was we consulted, we brought in a consulting firm, you know, throw the idea around, and we decided against it. And the reason they decided against it was because there was no demand for them. Surprise, surprise. Been saying that here for weeks, if not months. Uncle Sam's debt is junk. Nobody wants it. Who in their right mind is going to give Uncle Sam their money for 50 to 100 years at zero interest rates, at 1%, 1.5%, maybe 2% if you're lucky? Who's going to do it? Nobody. And nobody did. That's why they're not issuing them. because nobody wants it because it's junk. Nobody trusts to get paid back 50 to 100 years. And if it was not for the Federal Reserve coming into the bond market to buy up all of this new issuance, or a significant portion of it, again, we cited that Goldman Sachs study a couple weeks ago, where Goldman Sachs states their analysis, the Federal Reserve will be buying about 2/3 of all new issuance from the government. This is debt monetization. For all intents and purposes, this is a banana republic. It is here, folks. It is in your face. Nobody wants it. Just saw other interesting data today. Foreigners completely selling out of U.S. Treasuries. They don't want them. They don't want them. They don't want them. They don't want them. They're selling what they got, and they're not buying any new issuance. They don't want them. This is the lowest on record. Don't want them. This is our country. Our debt is junk. The rats are abandoning ship. It's what this is. In your face. States are going broke, are broke, have been broke. Your pension, if you're lucky enough to get one, you're going to have your benefits slashed. People that don't have a pension are going to be asked to pay more in taxes so that they can subsidize people that do have a pension. How do you think that's going to sound and settle over when it comes to any type of social disorder or social unrest? Not too well, folks. Not too well. And nobody's going to highlight any of this stuff to you. Nobody's going to talk about these things. No senator, no congressman are going to bring these up. The president of the United States is most definitely not going to bring these up. He just wants the vaccine headlines to come on. That's all. So the Dow Jones can rally 1,000 points. That's all he cares about. That's all it is. One hit after the other. The Nobody Cares Act. That's what it is. And they'll come out with more. Pay attention to the name. Whatever they say, it's got what's going to happen, it'll be the opposite. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining me today. Please like, share, subscribe. Leave your comments. We do love hearing from you. Stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capital News. I am Alex Caritas. Godspeed.